We're in a sermon series on giants, and we're going to spend another Sunday talking about it because we all have giants in our lives. And this Sunday, we're going to talk about probably the most famous giant killer of all times. And as we look at this man's life, we're going to pull some valuable skills about dealing with and taking down giants that we face, and there's a lot of different skills and a lot of different truths that we're going to look at, but really there's only one truth that this giant killer knew that stood out that made him the greatest giant killer of all time, and it's a truth that those around him really kind of forgot from time to time, but it made his exploit so great that we remember this guy hundreds and thousands of years later. But it's a truth that we know pretty good. But it's a truth that we often forget. Or it's a truth that we only half-heartedly embrace. Or it's a truth that we just don't seem to apply very well to our lives sometimes. But I want to tell you that there's not a giant killer around that doesn't have this truth locked in to their spirit. It does that they don't have this truth locked in to their mind. Matthew 19:26. I'm not even going to make you guys wait till halfway through the sermon to get the main point. The main point is this: with God, all things are possible. Let's say that again. I want you guys to join me. With God, all things are possible. So, if Johnny, you want to come up, we'll just close right now. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, with God, all things are possible. We're going to be talking about King David this morning. And his story, at least the story that we're going to talk about today, is found in 1 Samuel. And the setting, geographically anyway, is in the valley of Elah. And on one hill stood King Saul and the army of Israel. And on the other hill, on the opposite side of the valley, sits the army of the Philistines. And they've drawn battle lines. And every morning and every evening, they go through this ritual, and they've done it for 40 days. And in the morning, they come out, and they rattle their weapons and their shields. They cry out and call out these battle cries. They form the battle lines. And then on the side of the Philistines, the champion Goliath gets up. This guy is 9 foot, 9 inches tall. He wears 125 pounds of armor. He's got a spear that weighs, not just the spear, but the tip of the spear. The spearhead weighs 15 pounds. I almost brought a dumbbell that weighed 15 pounds, but I thought somebody might drop it on their foot. Then we'd have to have a healing service. But 15 pounds, just the tip, the head of this thing. The spear, I don't know what it would take, what it might have weighed. And he shouts out and defies. And don't you know, he would come out and he would talk smack. But at 9 foot, 9 inches, don't you know, you can talk a little smack and get away with it. And he would mock them and defy them. And he would call out and say, you send one of your best guys, you send your champion out. And I'll tell you what, if your champion beats me, then we will come and we will be your slaves. We will serve you guys. But if I beat your champion, then you guys come and you guys will serve us. And I'll pick it up in verse 10. 1 Samuel 17:10. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. And on hearing this, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And that word dismayed says and translated means that they were broken. They were shattered. They were undone by this guy's words. Not too far away, there was a man, Jesse, and he had seven sons, and three of his oldest sons were in Saul's army, and they were fighting and on the front lines. And Jesse had his youngest son, David. He was a shepherd. He was tending some of the livestock. He was probably 17, 18, 19 years old. And he called David over, and he was going to send a little care basket up to the front lines. And he wanted really just a little bit of information to see how his three sons, I mean, that's almost half of his sons there are on the battle lines in a very, very dangerous situation. And David takes the basket, he does as his father says, and he gets up there just about the time that they're going through this ritual that they've done for 40 days. So this is day number 41. And he gets up there, and the same thing happens. The battle lines start forming. They start, right, rattling their shields and their weapons. They start with their war chants. Goliath stands up with his defiance and his mockery and his slurs and his curses. The Israelites start running away. They get in their little fear huddle. And David hears this whole thing and sees this whole thing going on. So what goes on in these little fear huddles? Verse 25. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see what this man, how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel." Could you see it? These guys are all shattered. They're all in fear, right? And they're looking around. You know, the king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. And I think they're kind of looking to the other guy. Any takers? You know, the king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. No takers. He will also give him his daughter in marriage. Still, nobody's biting. Can you see the scene? And then, the greatest temptation of them all. He will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. Isn't that every man's greatest wish? No taxes. Free from taxation. And still, nobody bites. No takers. But as you look, and if you were to take that whole chapter, and we've just kind of done an abridged version, but if you look through this up to this point, in all of Goliath's taunts and his mockery, and all of the Israelite army's responses, and in the bounty that Paul places on Goliath, how many times is God's name mentioned? How many times is God actually brought into the picture, even though this is really God's nation and God's army? Not once. It's like God's not even in the room. Verse 26. David pipes up. Just a young guy. Right, sheep herder. He was a musician too. Right, could have been. He's a handsome young guy. Wasn't too buff, but we'll see. Guy was pretty strong. He was probably a pretty good athlete. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." Finally, somebody mentions God in this thing. Somebody brings God into the picture, into the situation. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle. Now, what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? And basically, his older brother is calling him a wuss. You're on the sidelines. Like, you're really going to do something about it. Shut your face. Have you ever had a tough situation where you felt humiliated or discouraged? And then somebody comes up with some lame solution. I remember one time, I don't know, finances were tough. And our daughter comes up and just comes up, well, and we owed like a lot of money. Well, we could just collect like Coke bottles or something. And something in me just burned with anger, like, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. You don't have any idea of what we're facing. The situation is grave, and this has been going on for some time. It's tough. This is when we were first married. The same thing has happened here. But I want to tell you that Eliab's forgot one thing, hasn't he? What's he forgotten? With God, all things are possible. David has brought God into this situation. Everyone here has been offended and humiliated personally and maybe on a national level, but nobody's been offended on God's behalf. Think of everything that God has done for these people. He's their deliverer. He has rescued them. He's been their provider. Yet they can't even fit him in the picture at any level at this point. Giant killers know that with God, all things are possible, right? It's with God, all things are possible. Not around God, all things are possible. Next to God, all things are possible. Above God, all things are possible. Not gonna be with God, all things are possible. Not used to be with God, all things are possible. But with God, all things are possible. This is part. We're going to look at this a lot this morning. With God. How do we get with God? How do we include him and involve him? And I want to tell you that it starts by acknowledging God and acknowledging him rightly. I want to tell you, when we start acknowledging God in our life and the circumstances in our life, you will see that you'll watch the all things are possible start happening in your life. When we acknowledge God rightly in our lives, then you will start watching the all things are possible start happening in your life. If you want to act like he's not even in the room and you don't want to acknowledge him and you wonder why the all things aren't happening, all things aren't possible, they're sometimes possible, or they're possible for somebody else, or they used to be possible. First thing, be sure that you're acknowledging God, that you're putting him first in all things. Have a God awareness. Amen? Okay, so verse 39. This is David. He turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. And I think that David just can't believe that there's just this big sense of apathy. For 41 days, all of these guys have just gotten used to living with the accusation that came from Goliath. They've just heard the lies. They've heard the mockery. God is wanting to do something through this army, through this nation, Israel, right? He's got something to do, but there's this accusation that's coming against it. And my guess is this, that eventually, if David hadn't come on the scene, if God hadn't raised up a champion, if there hadn't been somebody believing that with God, all things are possible, that eventually that Israelite army would have just surrendered and given up, and they would have become slaves to Goliath and the Philistine army. Don't you think? It's exactly what would have happened. And as that giant was calling out, we have giants calling out in our lives, and they're calling out and they're defying the thing that God wants to do in our life. He's defying the things that he wants to do, God wants to do in our marriage. He's calling out things such as your marriage will never, is never going to work. Parents, he's calling out the things that God wants to do as you're trying to raise your kid in a godly home. He's calling out and saying, you know what, your kid is never going to be right with God. You're trying to walk with God and you've slipped and you've fallen. You're kind of getting behind. He wants to discourage you. He's calling out, hey, you may as well just give up trying to fight that. You know, you're never going to be all that spiritual. You know, you may as well just not even bother trying to read scripture every day or pray every day. You're just falling too far behind. Satan wants more than just to depress you. He wants more than just to burn you out a little bit. He wants to make you an ally. Just like Goliath was trying to get these guys to serve under him. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to serve under him. That's the place that he wants you to be. But giant killers know, and they know, what do they know? With God, all things are possible. David doesn't want to, he keeps going around the camp because he just can't believe that these guys have just accepted this for 40 days, and it's just been commonplace in the camp. And it doesn't have to be commonplace in our camps. We can't let it happen. Reject the other voices and reject them often and reject them early. If you want to be with God, listen only to God. With God, all things are possible. So if you want to be with God, listen only to God. We have to know the difference between condemnation and conviction, right? We have to sort out these voices because they're there, the voices of the giants and the voices of God. Do we know what the difference between condemnation and conviction is? Let's say that we tell an untruth. We all tell untruths, right? Condemnation sounds like this. You're a liar. You're always going to be a liar. Conviction says this. You told a lie. And we get an encouragement to go make that lie correct. To go confess it. You know what? I wasn't on the up and up with you. What do I got to do to make it right? There's a difference between it. These voices that we hear, the lies of the enemy or the voice of God, does it line up with Scripture? It's another great way. Another way to tell if you're having trouble discerning the voice of God is ask a giant killer. Don't ask somebody that's caving in. Don't ask Eliab. Don't ask somebody who's going to like accuse you. Oh, you're just conceited. You're just this. Ask a giant killer. Well, Saul had heard that there was someone going around the camp asking about the bounty. So he sends for David. In verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You were only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." So you see here that since David has arrived on the scene with an all things are possible potential in him, that he's got nothing but shut down and doubted. First his brother and now king Saul, and he's taken on nothing but accusations and insults and doubt. And this isn't from the giant. This is from within the camp. This is friendly fire. And Saul, just like Eliab, what has he forgotten? With God, all things are possible. And here's the next thing. If you want to kill giants in your life, surround yourself with people that live by, with God, all things are possible. Surround yourself with God, all things are possible people. Because I want to tell you, you surround yourself with giant killers, and there you'll find the presence of God. That's where you'll find it. That's where you'll find people that can know where they're hearing the voice of God and where they're hearing lies. And these are the types of people that aren't going to put up with 40 days of hearing lies and accusations and just letting it rattle around the camp. Those are the camps you want to stay out of. So, but then David answers Saul, verse 34. And says this, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth.'" He struck it. He didn't stab it. Dude had a stick. I think that's pretty cool. "And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God." Do you see where David's offense lies? It's personal to him because it was personal to God. "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Now, Saul gets it. Right? Because of David's testimony, Paul gets it now. With God, all things are possible. And because all things are possible, David, you go and you take this guy on. Our testimony connects us with God. That's another way. If we want to be a with God kind of people and you want to see the all things are possible in your life, start telling your testimony, and the first person you got to tell your testimony to is yourself. Honestly, it sounds crazy, but sometimes we got to remind ourselves of the things that God has done in our lives. We can forget. And sometimes I've had it in one day where God has done something awesome in the morning, and by the afternoon, I forget that with God, all things are possible. We have to testify to ourselves. We have to evangelize ourselves, gospelize ourselves over and over again. We strengthen ourselves. That's why I love baptisms. Anybody here encouraged that went to the baptism that we had? I mean, more than a little bit. Encouraged a lot. And this is why we have people, we don't just like stick them in the water and bring them out. We have them give a testimony. That testimony is encouraging. And here we see that David's testimony not only strengthens himself, but it strengthens King Saul. You would have figured that he's the whole leader of the nation. He wouldn't need strengthening, but he did. And a little 17, 18-year-old kid strengthens the king of a nation with his testimony. And on one hand, just before his testimony, King David is saying, "Oh, no, don't go." He's trying to talk the guy out of it. And after the testimony, King David is saying, "Go get him, tiger." If you want to see that everything is possible in your life. Give God thanks for what he's doing. Give God thanks for what he's done. Write it down. Have a book, memorial stones. Write it down, scriptures. Have pictures. That's what Ann took a picture of that van. That's what we want to talk about that today. That is a testimony of what God has done in her ministry. So we want to share it with you all. Like you're hoping for stuff, aren't you? Just like she was hoping and praying for stuff. We prayed for that van. If you prayed for that van, raise your hand. Look at that. All right. God answered the prayer. That's awesome. But now we got to go pray for the next thing. All right. Saul 38. What'd I say? Okay. You know what I meant. Yeah. Okay. Verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off, and then he put his staff on his hand and chose five smooth stones from the stream and put them in a pouch, in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. So remember the fields. Right? David spent many, many a day, many, many a night out in the fields, and all he depended on was God to defeat the lions and the bears and any of the dangers and challenges that he had. He was out there by himself. You know, shepherding was a tough job, actually. In a way, anybody could do it, but in another way, not everybody could survive it, and not everybody could chase down some of those animals. Most of the guys would have what? What would you have done? You could take Mr. Lion, Mr. Bear, you could go ahead, you could have that sheep, right? And if people came to take your livestock, some guys might have just let them go. Rustlers come, yeah, how many you want? But not David. It could be a tough, tough job. So he's out there by himself. And he didn't depend on metal armor or a bronze helmet. He had a breastplate of righteousness. He depended on his relationship with God. He had the helmet of salvation. He relied on his relationship with God, and he knew that that giant would come down because God was going to bring him down. He'd seen it. He knew that all things were possible with God. It was the relationship. He knew that he needed to rely on God to experience the, with God all things are possible. A lot of times we can rely on other things, right? We can rely on stuff. We can rely on people. Sometimes we can rely on using other people's stuff. Instead of having our own relationship with God, sometimes instead of spending time with him, we just look at what other people have spent time with God, and we like the fruit in their lives, so then we just imitate the fruit. We just say, oh, we want some of that. So we just imitate that. We don't understand that it was in their relationship, it was with on their dependence with God that got them to that place in the first place. He can't wear Saul's stuff to do battle because that's Saul's stuff. It's not going to work for David, is it? If he would have relied on that, I guarantee you, David's going down. There's no way he wins, and he understands that. He knows that. He refuses it, and he just goes with what got him to the party. He's going to depend on God. So, as all of this is going on, right? David trying to, he's talking to Saul. He's trying to, you know, get all of his gear on. And, Goliath is seeing this, and he's got his armor bearer. And he can see somebody's, like, getting ready, off in the distance. And he sees that. And so they're moving together. You know, they're walking up, and they're getting closer and closer. And as they're approaching each other in the valley, all of a sudden, Goliath is kind of catching wind of what's going on. He looks over, and he sees this person, and he's expecting to see some great warrior. And as he's looking out, he sees somebody who looks more like he belongs in a boy band. And the guy's got, like, a stick and a slingshot. And he's approaching probably the greatest warrior of the day. And, you know, it just irritates the guy to no end. And he starts, you know, actually cursing his gods, cursing David, tells him he's going to turn him in to animal protein, feed to the animals out there in the wilderness. It's not looking good. And David says this to the Philistine: "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin," so don't think that David's in denial. He sees exactly what he's up against. "But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here," and I think David's wanting to prove his point, not only to the enemy, but to whom? Israel. The people that kind of forgot that with God, all things are possible. The whole world, right? All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. To connect with God, if you want to experience the with God, the all things are possible kind of life, do what you do in the name of God. So we got that right. Do what you do for God's sake. Do what you do in the name of the Lord. Here's where we realize God's presence. You can't be any more with God than when you commit your day to God, when you commit the work that you do, when you commit to raising your kids, when you commit to being a good neighbor, when you commit to educating your kids, when you commit to going to school, when you commit your life, all the parts of it, to doing it in the name of the Lord, I want to tell you that you will never experience the all things are possible life to a degree than when you do that. Try it. Monday, this afternoon, you will never experience the presence of God as when you decide to do all things in the name of the Lord. Do all things for his glory. Every interaction you have with your neighbor, everything you do for the coworker, the way you pay your bills, yep. You know probably the rest of the story. Goliath moves closer. Does David, I feel like I know him, you know. David, does he just kind of like walk up there? What does he do? He runs. That's another tip. You want to kill a giant first thing? Run! And he picks the one stone. He buries it in this guy's forehead. Boom! kills him instantly. The guy goes down. What happens to the Philistine army? They run in terror. Israel chases him all the way back to to Goliath's hometown. No coincidence there. They chase him back to the champion's hometown, to Gath. Killing him, slaughtering him all the way back. And David goes on to become king. And everybody knew that God had done it. Everyone knew. What did they know? With God, all things are possible. So the big question is, are you with God? Not next to him, around him, thinking about being with him. You were with God. You're going to be with God. Is God with you? Now, if we're saved, we know that he's with us in a sense. But are we acknowledging him? So here's the verse. We got Matthew 19:26. We can put up there. Matthew looked at them. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So you might want to say, I want to experience the all things are possible life. And I want to focus on this with God. Really, it's just practicing the presence of God in our lives. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start Monday. Start now. Maybe you started already. I know a lot of you have. Get God involved. Acknowledge him. Be sure you know. Acknowledge him. Don't talk like he's not in the room. Get him involved in your conversation. Let his name come off your lips. Second thing is, listen only to God. If you think something might be coming in the conversation, an accusation or something like that, get in the habit. Bust him early, bust him often. That's the way you determine whether you're hearing somebody else's voice. If you do it late and not enough, pretty soon you're going to be like 40 days like these guys were, and you're going to get complacent, and you're going to accept it, and you're just going to live your life that way. Bust him early and often, and that's how you learn. Okay? Look for some giant killers and get around them. Get around some giant killers. Spend some time. Testimony. Give testimony to yourself and to others. Rely on God alone. Even if somebody's got some great stuff to give you, that's their stuff. That worked for them. You know, where God's worked in your life in the past and you've experienced great fruit and breakthrough, that's the stuff that you use. That's the part of your relationship with God to press into. And lastly, do what you do in the name of God. Do it for his sake. Do it for Christ's sake. And you will never, and that alone, you'll experience the all things are possible life. I'm kind of fired up. We're going to pray right now. And what I want each of us to do, I know it's been maybe a long morning, maybe that was a 35-minute sermon. Maybe that's a little bit long for you. But I know you got this in you. We only need about 2 more minutes. You had a challenge coming in here. And maybe since we've been talking, maybe that challenge has come to mind. Maybe it seemed impossible. Maybe you've been, it's something that's newer. Maybe it's something that you've been dealing with your whole life. Maybe it's that 40-day thing. And Goliath's just come up and he's been accusing you. He's been defying the things that God wants to do in your life. And however you got there, you just lost some of the fight. But whatever that challenge is, we're just going to pray against it right now. And we're just going to expose it as a lie. I want to tell you, God is with us right now. Do you guys sense that? God is with us.